want to invite the kids to go downstairs if they're in K through second grade. If you are in K through second grade and want to go downstairs and have a class, that would be great. If you are in third through fifth grade and there is a classroom right back here, anybody who wants to go to that class and is in the third through fifth grade, because there might be some of you who say, yeah, get me out of here. We're going to have a little challenge here between myself and Mr. Adam Miller. Adam is Carrie's husband. Fix that there. We are both dads of two wonderful children. He has two, I have two. We don't have the same two children. We have two different children. And
make it a lot easier, though.
If we shared them, yes, it would be good. But we wanted to just have a little fun with dads and dad jokes today. And I don't know if you've ever seen on YouTube where they have these don't laugh challenges where they get just two people squaring off against each other, telling jokes that try to make the other person laugh. And Adam's going to try not to laugh, and I'm definitely not going to laugh at his jokes. He'll get a point if I laugh, and I'll get a point if he laughs. And the more you hoot and holler, the better. And he didn't bring... My kids are like grown though. They don't need any help.
So it's win-win for us.
Yeah. So, Adam, just before we get started, just tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do, and what's your gig?
Speak
right in the microphone there, so they can
hear. Mostly live in the shadow of my wife. I work at Granville High School. We have a little coffee shop, like snack bar there, and I run that during the school year. During the summer, I work at a little campground called Lazy River at Granville, right outside of Granville, and do all sorts of fun stuff there. But yeah, I just spend a lot of time, try to spend as much time as I can with my wife and my amazing kids, and that's it.
Well, if they're amazing, then maybe I'll be willing to take them on if I need to. We've not rehearsed this at all. And in fact, I wasn't sure Adam was here until 5 minutes after the service started. So.
We had a bloody nose issue downstairs. So
okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
But it's all taken care of.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
At least
and
not downstairs. Still
nobody's
bleeding
out.
Yeah.
That's good. Adam, we did this thing here, and you accepted the challenge rather readily.
Yes.
And you did not bring any notes with you, which gives me a lot of concern for myself. You've got them on your phone. Okay, that's good.
It's not 1995, Dave.
With the paper. I do have the paper.
Trying to save some trees
here. I mostly
here.
Can't see. That's the problem. Okay, would you like to start? You're welcome to start, or I can
go first.
Sure,
I'll start.
Yeah.
So, Dave, a man was washing the car with his son, and his son looks at him and says, Dad, can't you just use a sponge?
Okay, because he was using the
sun.
Using the sun to wash the car. Did you guys get that? Okay. All right. What's it called when your dad gets mad at you?
What?
Dadditude. These are dad jokes, everybody. Dad jokes, okay? All right. Okay, go ahead.
So, Dave, I was watching Star Wars with my daughter, and we were watching Empire Strikes Back, and it was the part where Luke cuts open the Tauntaun to climb inside, and she asked me, why is he doing that? And I said, he's doing it to stay warm. And she said, well, how warm is it? And I said, lukewarm.
It would be just warm enough, yes. Speaking of 1995, mm-hmm. Do you know what Forrest Gump's password is?
No.
It's one Forrest run.
So a man was with his wife, and she got fed up with him having no direction, so he packed up his stuff and right.
Okay, that's a good one. All right, you got me on that one. Okay. What do you call a hen looking at a piece of lettuce.
What?
Chicken Caesar salad.
One of my favorites.
Okay.
One of my favorites.
All right, he didn't laugh, though. He didn't laugh.
So earlier today, my daughter asked me for a bookmark, and I got kind of sad because she's 10 and she still doesn't know my name is Adam.
It's really good.
Thanks.
It's a good one.
Thanks.
You almost got me on that one. Did you know that I recently went colorblind?
No.
No, it really came out of the purple.
Yeah, it happens. It happens sometimes.
Come on, guys. Come on.
You know, Dave, whenever I get upset, you know, my friends tell me, hey, man, cheer up. At least you're not stuck underground in a hole full of water. I know they mean well.
I'm going to have to watch his kids. I grew up on a farm, and we had some dairy cattle, and my dad was out there milking the cows, and he saw a fly go in the cow's ear, and then a moment later, he noticed there was a fly in the bucket of milk, and he said, in one ear, out the udder. Yes.
Aha. Dave, did you know that did you know that if you rearrange the letters of postmen, they get really angry at you?
Oh, I get it now. Yeah, I see. They would get mad at you if you. Yes, I see. Is the pool safe for diving?
No.
It depends. I messed it up. It depends. It depends.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a guy walked into a bank, he pulls out a gun, points it at the teller and says, give me all the money you have or your geography. And the teller looks at him and says, don't you mean history? And he says, don't change the subject.
That's good. I want to do a little, I'm a pastor, you know, so biblical things. What did God say after he created man?
What?
He said, I can do better than this.
It's funny because it's true.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. On a Father's Day especially.
So, you know, I'll go a little, you know, kind of biblical too. I mean, but not really. But, you know, I hate it, you know, those people who knock on your door and they say, you know, get saved or you'll burn. You know, stupid firemen.
Oh, you gotta hate those guys. All right, let's get continuing with the religious theme. Mm-hmm. What kind of man was Boaz before he married Ruth?
What kind of man?
He was ruthless.
That's true.
Yeah. There's a lot of groaning out there.
So last night my wife and I are sitting on the couch, and she yells at me. She said, you haven't listened to one word I've said. And that was a really weird way to start a conversation with me.
You were right. You told me he'd get me. Okay. We have time for two more, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I only have one more.
You only have one more?
But you
All
have
right.
two, right?
I have two coming.
Because I went first.
That'll be great. I can't make it up anyway, but it's 5-1. What do you call a fake noodle?
What?
An impasta. Man, just give me something. Just give me something.
I guess we're... So, Dave, I finally got the limited edition thesaurus that I've been wanting my whole life. I ordered it from Amazon. It came in the mail, and I opened it up, and all the pages are blank. I have no words to describe how angry I am.
I understand. That would be frustrating. I gotcha. Did Eve ever have a date with Adam?
No.
No, just an apple. Got you on that one. All right.
That was a thinker.
Thank you so much. He's the winner of the first annual Dad Joke Challenge thing. We'll just leave this right here. It'll be all right. Yeah. I'll just use this. Thank you, Adam, and thanks for your willingness to defeat me at my own game. We'll move that out of the way. I was until Carrie told me this morning, you better be prepared, and I was like, uh-oh. I am not that prepared. Father's Day, and we'll talk in a minute about how Father's Day can have a negative impact, but I was thinking in general about these kinds of holidays and looking at holidays in general, and I think chronologically speaking here in North America, at least I would say, that we have tiers of holidays, all right? I like to think of tiers of holidays as far as first tier. First tier holidays include, chronologically speaking, would be New Year's Day. You can see if you agree with me. New Year's Day, first tier, Easter, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, all right? And by first tier, I mean like, okay, you get a day off of work for it, for sure. There'll be a day off. There will likely be a feast of some sort, and if not feast, fireworks, because of 4th of July, you know what I'm talking about. And even on 4th of July, which is coming up here pretty soon, you might decide to eat a burger and a brat and a steak that day, you know, because it's 4th of July only once, you know what I mean? But you'll have the day off, there'll be a feast, and maybe even exchange of gifts of some sort, because you got Christmas in there. And then I think the second tier, check me on this, second tier would be something like Mother's Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day, because you could, moms, you're going to make a case for putting Mother's Day up in first tier, but I can't put it there because you don't get the day off, all right? We don't get a day off, nationally speaking, for that. So it's automatically second tier in my book, just saying. All right, and then, so Mother's Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day, you might get the day off on some of those. You might treat it like a first tier, but without being for sure having the day off, it's not there. You probably might do something with family around those second tier holidays. You might have a gathering, maybe not on the day itself. The day itself's not all that sacred, but there might be an exchange of gifts. Moms, there better be an exchange of gifts for sure, right? There's likely to be food involved, but it's not going to be the feast like Christmas, okay? And then you got the third tier holidays, all right? You got Martin Luther King. You got President's Day. You're not gathering for family on President's Day, are you? Those are meant for mattress sales and to buy a dishwasher if you need one. But Columbus Day, Halloween, you might get a day off. You might not get a day off. They aren't usually an occasion. You're not gathering the family together. But I don't know where Father's Day might fit into that. I think it might be third tier because we don't always celebrate Father's Day that much. You might acknowledge your dad. You might send him a text or a DM. You know, just send a DM to your dad if he's swaggy that way. Maybe you just send a smoke signal. I don't know, but do something to connect that way. But of all the holidays, that leaves Valentine's Day and Sweetest Day, which I'm going to put in a tier all their own because Sweetest Day is made up holiday that only serves the purpose of selling cards. And for Hallmark to make money, and really for both of those holidays in North America anyway, they just serve a couple purposes for making people feel guilty for not participating in the way they should have, or making people feel angry because somebody didn't participate the way they thought you should have, you know what I mean? There's also the jealous complex who can't participate in those holidays, period. But celebration is part of our culture. We celebrate things and we mark seasons and we go through passages of time where we know that this season is coming and this season is going and we're in the middle of it right now and whatever it is, we celebrate things. And it's part of the way God designed us. We do celebrations, and we've done them since the beginning of time, really. In the Hebrew culture, people were celebrating feasts, and they were God set aside days for feasts and days for fasting. I'm going to scoot you a little bit closer because that there at the table, I feel like I'm behind y'all. So I'm going to come a little bit closer if you don't mind. But in America, our feasting for celebration doesn't happen in particular occasions. It like happens every day. That's a part of the problem with the way we operate in our culture is the feasting part of thing loses its meaning because we have the opportunity, most of us, to feast and overindulge in food almost every day. In our series on Heaven on Earth, we're looking at ways that we can bring God's will on earth as it is in heaven, just like Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer. One of the things that happens in heaven that we can do here on earth is this idea of celebration.
In fairness, I saw that the low battery sign was there earlier, but I was like, nah, it'd be fine. So, it was not fine. My fault, everybody. So I was thinking about celebrations that happen in heaven and why celebrations occur in heaven and how we can bring that here on earth. So we're going to go through this pretty quickly because I promised Carrie we would be done in like 52 minutes, and I don't think we're going to make it now, but we had too much fun with the dad jokes. Heaven rejoices when one saint is added on earth. There's one reason why we have celebrations in heaven. I'm going to go through Luke chapter 15, 1 through 7. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus." So Jesus was hanging out with the sinners. And notice it puts tax collectors and sinners in two different categories, like tax collectors and sinners. Oh, the tax collectors were actually worse than the sinners. They were a whole different category of sinner. Jesus didn't stick with the holy rollers. He didn't stay in the safe religious people. He hung out with the sinners. He went where the people were, and he wanted to hang out with people that nobody else wanted to hang out with. And he left the relative safety of his religious bubble, and he went out amongst the hardest people to love. But look, the tax collectors and the sinners, they received his message. They were all gathering around to hear Jesus. And whenever we see the religious leaders around Jesus, we see that they are usually loitering in the back. And the words and teachings of Jesus that Jesus used himself in the New Testament that we get to read about now, those same words are still acceptable today. People still want to hear that they're loved. But when we tell people that they're loved, and people of all kinds, and people who are unlovable, be careful, because there might be religious folk who are hanging on to the notion and onto the traditions of yesteryear that they don't want to live a life of love at the expense of a tradition. So we have to be careful of that. Religious people have been around ever since Jesus was around. So watch for that. People of Jesus, we are not here to please the religious, but to love those who do not feel worthy of love and to accept those who have not been accepted. The message of Jesus still warms the hearts of those who hear, and they will gather around you when you live it with your life. So Jesus is with the tax collectors and sinners, and they're all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So there they are in the back of the room muttering about Jesus. And Jesus told them this parable. He says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99? Didn't we just sing about that in the song? He leaves the 99 in that reckless love. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it?" Jesus is talking about leaving the comfort of the 99 to go out and take the risk to find one lost sheep. Wouldn't you go find one rather than tend the 99? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found the lost sheep." Now in those days, the lost sheep was lost livelihood. Okay, you needed your sheep to make a living, and it was a great celebration to bring home a lost sheep. You needed to have that sheep. It'd be kind of like our dogs today. How many of you have pets, a pet dog especially? Like, well, I have cats too, but, you know, they're cats. If you, no offense, you just got a cat, I know. But we love our pets, okay? I'll be inclusive. We love our pets, and if our pet runs off and our pet leaves us, then we'll put up signs. We'll go canvas the neighborhood. We'll pay money to put something in the paper. If you've seen my lost dog, call so and so. We want everybody to start looking for our pet with us because we want that animal back with us. And then when we find it, we're excited. Yes, we found our lost loved animal, and we've finally brought home our pet. It's good news, and there's great excitement. And we call our friends and neighbors, hey, great, we have our animal back. The lost is found. And Jesus says this, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who has repented than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Heaven rejoices when the sinner repents. When the sinner turns away from their sin and turns towards God. That's what repentance is. It's a turning away from and turning towards God. As excited as we would be for an animal to come home, heaven is even more excited for a sinner to, as we put it last week, to come home to the place where they belong. Remember last Sunday we talked about belonging. There's a great celebration in heaven when we return to where we belong. Heaven has a celebration for the lost sinner returning to their home or their country of citizenship, as the Bible says it another way, back to where they belong. Heaven celebrates that. And I kind of wonder what a heavenly celebration is like. I've never been there. So I don't know what maybe there's music involved. I hope there's feasting involved because I'm planning on doing that someday. Maybe there's dancing. I don't know what that is for sure, but whatever there is, there's a huge celebration when one person repents and their citizenship is restored to heaven. So do we celebrate that? Do we celebrate like that? Is it a party when someone acknowledges that Jesus is their Lord, that Jesus is their Savior and becomes a believer in His saving grace? I think it is. I think that's something to celebrate. When our daughters got baptized, they were both about 10 years old when we did the baptism thing with them. And for each one of them, we had a party. We just had people over to the house, and we celebrated the fact that they are baptized. Now, the baptism wasn't their salvation. They acknowledged that they believed in Jesus. And then as we talked about what baptism meant to them, then we went through that process. And then we had a celebration. Baptism itself is meant to be a celebration to acknowledge the repentance and cleansing of our sin. Let's celebrate it. Let's acknowledge what God has done for us and celebrate it. These are the kinds of parties we should be having all the time. I hope heaven's celebrating all the time. It should be in a constant state of rejoicing and celebration because of new believers coming to know Jesus. So let's do it here on earth. I'm being sincere when I offer this out there that we don't have an easy way of doing baptisms in this room, but we'll find a way. If you would like to be baptized, we will find a way to do it here or celebrate it together as a family of fellowship. We'll go out to some, we'll find a pool, we'll find some water, and you will get wet, and we will have a celebration if you want to do that. So let me know. I'm being very sincere about that, or if you don't want to talk to me personally, you can go on our website and fill out a form about baptism. So they celebrate in heaven, and when a new believer comes into the family, we can celebrate that here on earth too. So secondly, there's an ongoing celebration. They celebrate when a new believer comes into the family, but they also celebrate simply because God is God. In heaven, they celebrate because God is God, and I think it might be better said this way. They just rejoice in the presence of the Father. Revelation chapter 19, verses 5 through 7 says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants, who fear Him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Some pretty flowery words in there, and it sounds pretty biblical, right? But it does make sense where it's at in the Bible. I mean, this is like the victory party after everything has been completed here on earth and God's plan has come to fruition. That's the party. And we sing those words, hey, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. The idea is that people in heaven are celebrating simply because God is God, and God has the victory, and there's no greater celebration than that. And do you ever get that feeling, hopefully you get it, when we sing here in worship, worship, or maybe at other experiences where you've been to worship, and just the Spirit moves in that room, and you're singing, and just praise God for God being God, and for what God has done for us, and just thank you, God, for you being you. We sing hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns, and we just sing and praise God because God is God. It's like when parents have a newborn baby, and they're proud of that baby simply because that baby is their baby. And I never forget when we first had Abby, we were living in a different town, and a pastor friend of mine, we met for breakfast every week, and I took a couple weeks off because we just had a baby, and not that I had a baby, but, you know, I was taking time to be with Bethany and the baby, and I said to my friend, hey, I want you to come and meet the baby. And he mocked it. He's like, oh, the baby, we got to see the baby. And I was like, okay, never mind. You know, you don't have to see the baby. So I let it go. I didn't ever introduce, he's never met you, Abby. I didn't make it happen. But I was proud of her, even though she had never done anything for me. She's my baby. So I wanted to show her off to anybody who would see her. Like, look at this child. Like, you got a baby right there. Like, proud of her. She's amazing just because she's your baby. She's your child. God is proud of his children as much as earthly parents are proud of their children, even though we haven't done anything to deserve it. Now then, are you as proud of your Father in heaven as he is of you? Are you willing to show off your Heavenly Father and celebrate God's goodness within you as much as he's willing to be proud of you? Can you celebrate God the Father, just because God is God? Now today is Father's Day. And it's not hard to make that leap from earthly father to heavenly father unless it is difficult. Because it can be difficult for some folks. Let me talk to dads for just a minute. Dads, many of us have screwed up God's given privilege and responsibility as father. We've destroyed our wives and our children because of our own selfishness, or maybe because of our own examples that we had as fathers, maybe because of our own choices. And so many of us have made it difficult for countless people to celebrate their father on a day like today. So if we want to talk about the need for repentance, fathers, let's repent of that. Let's repent of our improper handling of our responsibilities, and let God redeem our inaction or our perverse actions so that there is a celebration in heaven because of our repentance. Dads out there, another problem with many of us being poor examples of fathers is that we've made it impossible for our children to identify with a good father in heaven above. How can they recognize God as father when we've been a terrible example of a father? Father's Day can be difficult for many people because of the relationship that they've had with their dad is not something that they can celebrate. I understand that. So let's bring a little bit of heaven into those relationships. Look, in heaven, they celebrate the Father simply because the Father is God. And we need to do that here on earth too. Even if we can't celebrate earthly dad, we must redeem the concept of Father and celebrate Father God simply because God is Father. And if you find yourself in this situation, know that you're not alone, but that the Father in heaven weeps with you in your turmoil and wants the very, very best for you. And I think our Father, who art in heaven, would say to you that he is proud of you simply because you are one of his children. And I hope and pray that you can celebrate our Father today simply because he is Daddy. In heaven, there's at least two reasons to celebrate, both of which are reasons for us to continue the celebration on earth as it is in heaven. That's when a new believer comes into the family and because God is God. And I want to wrap the message up. I want to offer a couple final thoughts on making celebrations holy events here on earth as it is in heaven. I think the celebratory intent of feasting is lost in our culture, as I said before, because every meal has a potential to be an overindulgence in food. And that makes the celebratory feast lose its meaning. Well, I didn't really understand this until one year for Lent, I gave up all, I'll call it legit meat. I ate fish, but I didn't eat legit meat. I wanted my pork and beef and chicken. And so, but I ate fish just because I got tired of peanut butter. So I need protein, you know what I mean? So I took a 40-day abstinence on meat, and that was really hard to do, and I couldn't wait for Easter to roll around because I was going to feast, baby. Yeah, give me some steaks. Except that Bethany had arranged for her family. They were all going to go up to her grandma's place. She lived in Mount Vernon at a retirement center. So we went up there for Easter Sunday to have a retirement center meal, which included cottage cheese and peaches and tapioca, some sort of ground ham product, and green beans. Now, mind you, I did eat it, but I was so disappointed because it was not the feast that I really wanted. And so Bethany said on the way home we could get some real steaks and grill those up for supper. And I'm not kidding you, I've never had a better steak. There was just something about that feast when I truly made it a thankfulness for what God had done for me in that journey. And the thankfulness for the resurrection, the new life that we could experience at Easter Sunday. It was so meaningful to me to experience that joy. And I don't think I could accurately describe the feelings that I had that day. But I truly feasted in a celebratory way in what God had done for me. So I share that with you because we can redeem these celebrations. We can make celebrations truly heaven on earth here. And I offer these to you. Not as a work of my own, but it's something I read from John Piper. So he just said, plan it with Christ in center. Plan it with Christ at the center. As you plan the meal and the celebration, think through the details of what to cook and prepare and where everyone will be, and pray. Pray through it all so Christ is the center of your celebration. Pray through the invitations. Who's coming? Who have you invited? True feasting and celebration isn't about being socially comfortable, but having the heart of Jesus and asking who is invited to the table. Secondly, say a godly word. When it comes time to do the feast, say a godly word. When people gather for the celebration, say something about why you're gathered. It doesn't have to be a long sermon. Keep it short because the food's hot. You know, keep it short. But this is why we gather, whether it's a birthday or Thanksgiving or Father's Day or whatever it is, remember that we're gathering and that gathering is in honor of God and what God has done for us. He's the ultimate reason for celebration. So give praise and thanks and glory to God. And then give thanks together. Say a prayer and give thanks. 1 Timothy tells us that feasts and celebrations are made holy by the word of God. That's like saying a godly word. And by prayer. So after hearing the godly word, then collectively together, return back thankfulness to God in prayer for what God has provided. And then lastly, just enjoy the celebration. Enjoy it. Live in the moment. There's nothing left to do but enjoy the time together that you are here together for this moment. Have the meal together and enjoy the drinks together. Whatever it is you're using to enhance your time of fellowship and celebration, enjoy it. Just have fun. It's okay. It's not only okay, it's great. It's awesome. God meant for us to celebrate. He meant for us to be in a rhythm of feasting and fasting, times of work and rest, times for sorrow and times for joy, to celebrate together. So today, we celebrate you dads, and we give you all, not just permission, but the encouragement to celebrate on earth as it is in heaven. Put Christ at the center. Somebody say a godly word over your dad today when you gather together. Somebody do that. And if you're not able to connect with your dad, say a godly word about God, and then give thanks together, and then finally, just enjoy the celebration, and for this moment, then you too can bring heaven on earth for your family today. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this celebration that we can have, and a celebration that is repeated weekly, and not just in this location, but in thousands, maybe millions of houses of worship all across the globe. We celebrate what Jesus has done for us, the new life that was brought for us on Easter Sunday so many years ago. But today we think of celebration in terms of how things are celebrated in heaven. So God, give us the inspiration to to celebrate when a new believer comes into the family, to celebrate you, God, simply because you are you. And when we do have times of joining together for feasts and celebrations with family, may we make them a true celebration that is meant for heaven but brought here on earth. God, be with us as we go out throughout our day, and maybe we connect with family, maybe we see our dads, maybe there's a strained relationship out there. Start to work to redeem those relationships so that there can be a celebration in heaven over that as well. God, be with us as we leave here today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.